Welcome to the SportsCapping.com podcast with free handicapping advice, odds insights, picks, and predictions to help you beat the sportsbook. And now your hosts, Jack Jones and Brandon Lee.
This is the SportsCapping.com free pick podcast. I'm your host, Jack Jones. Brandon Lee joins me this week to give you four free picks and two teasers for week two NFL and week three college football. Brandon's currently our number four ranked overall handicapper in 2017 at SportsCapping.com. Brandon, congrats on a great year up to this point. How's your football season going so far?
Hey, appreciate it. Off to a good start. Not quite as good as I was hoping for, but we're profiting college football. Solid 3-1 to start the NFL. Had a tough break Monday night with the Saints-Vikings total. Ended up pushing. Kept me from a 4-1 weekend. But, you know, we're 62% over my last 41 football picks dating back to last year, which includes a 13-5 run in the NFL.
Nicely done, man. Profitable in both sports. Can't complain. Cannot complain about that ever. So, and having a great year overall. So keep it up. I want to be excited because I'm coming off a great week on the gridiron. I went 13-4 on premium and free picks in NFL and college football last week. But three of my four losers were given out on this podcast. Teddy Davis and I went 1-5 last week. Dropped the record to 1-7 on free picks and teasers on the season. I did hit my 6-point NFL teaser on the Ravens +9 and Chargers +9 to avoid the over. But like I said, went 13-4 in football last week, and the three losers were the Titans, Cardinals, and Rutgers. Teddy also lost with NC State and his teaser.
Tough week.
Let's find some winners this week. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm all for it. After my NC State, you know, almost doubled up the yards and lost the game for me.
Yeah, that was a tough one. And then Teddy hopped right back on NC State, and they did not deliver. So yeah, you should have won that one in week one for sure, man. We're still 31-19-2 on free picks and teasers over our last 11 podcasts. That's 62% winners, even with that 1-7 start this season factored in. Brandon, give the listeners your college football free pick for Saturday.
Yep, I'm going to stay clear of NC State here, and I'm going to go with a rare total on the podcast and take LSU and Mississippi State under 51.5 in this SEC West showdown on Saturday night. You know, a lot of people here are going to focus on the offensive numbers that both these teams are put up and the fact that each of them has a Heisman contender, both with betting odds, that being the Bulldogs quarterback Nick Fitzgerald and, you know, LSU running back Darius Geis. On the other side here, you have two offenses putting up great numbers to start the year. Mississippi State averaging 53 points and over 500 yards in their first two games. But you have to look at who these guys have played. It's been against Charleston Southern and Louisiana Tech. You know, Louisiana Tech's a good program, but they gave up over 660 yards to Texas Tech last year. So, you know, let's not get too over excited about, you know, the Bulldogs putting up a big number there. LSU is averaging 36 points. You know, a lot of people are expecting big things from that offense now that Les Miles isn't around. The thing is, a lot of their damage came in a 45-point showing against Tennessee Chattanooga. They were a lot less effective against BYU in their opener, only scoring 27. I'm really excited about these two teams, and it's on the defensive side of the ball. LSU held BYU to a mere 97 yards and 6 first downs in their opener, and the Bulldogs matched that, holding Charleston Southern to 33 yards and 2 first downs in their first game of the season. The Tigers followed that up with another strong showing, holding Tennessee Chattanooga to 242 yards, and Mississippi State, really shut down a Louisiana Tech offense that has put up pretty good numbers over the years. Had it not been for an interception that led to a 2-yard touchdown drive, the Bulldogs would have had a 57-8 edge in the fourth quarter of that game. Now, it's not a big surprise that LSU is good on defense. I think, you know, they're on everyone's radar on that side of the ball, given what they did last year, holding opponents to 15.8 points per game. That was the first year under new defensive coordinator Dave Aranda. And, you know, a big thing that to note from that first season with the LSU defense, they held Alabama to 10 points. No other team held them under 30 last year. So that's just the level of talent they have on that side of the ball and how good of a coach Aranda is, you know, at just scheming for the opponents. I think we're seeing a very similar impact with the new defensive coordinator at Mississippi State. They added in Tawn Grantham, who a lot of you might not know about, but is one of the more respected defensive minds in the game. You can really see it in the way this team is playing in their first two games. I don't see either team being able to move the ball. And when they do put a drive together, I think they are going to have to settle for field goals instead of touchdowns. And I wouldn't be shocked if both teams failed to reach 20 points in this one.
I lean that way on the under, too, man. I think the fact that this game is going to be played almost exclusively on the ground is going to favor the under. It's going to keep the clock moving. And these are two very good defense. So I do lean that way with you. But my favorite play on this game is Mississippi State plus 7. I had Mississippi State minus 8 last week at Louisiana Tech. They won 57-21. It was a game where Louisiana Tech fumbled the ball, and it was kicked all the way back to their own 7-yard line. So it went from a second and goal to a third and goal with 93 yards to go. I don't think you'll ever see anything like that again. It was one of the craziest things of all time. But
it's impossible to replicate. You have to watch the highlight if you haven't seen
it. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go YouTube that one. But I think Mississippi State's definitely the biggest sleeper in the SEC this season. Almost everyone picked them to finish last, just like they do every year. But Dan Mullen always gets the most out of his players. And this is his most experienced team at Mississippi State since 2014, a team that was a 20-25 loss to Alabama away from winning the SEC West and possibly playing for a national championship. They had 13 starters back this year, including quarterback Nick Fitzgerald, definitely one of the more underrated quarterbacks. He rushed for almost 1,400 yards last year and 16 touchdowns as a sophomore, also threw for over 2,400 yards, had a 21-10 touchdown interception ratio. So I really like this guy. I think he can move the ball enough to keep Mississippi State in this game. Mississippi State's gone 3-0 against the spread in the last three meetings with LSU, and all three have gone right down to the wire. They've all been decided by 5 points or less. They won by 5 in 2014 at LSU, lost by 2 at home 2015, and then lost by 3 as 13-point road dogs last year. I really think they have a shot to pull off the upset here, and so I like getting 7 points at home.
Yeah, I'm actually on board with Mississippi State plus 7. I you know, teased with myself of putting that one out instead of the under, but you know, this is one I just don't feel good about either way. But do see the value with Mississippi State in this one.
It worked out, man. We gave them two free picks for the price of one there, so I like it.
Yep.
I'm going to go to the biggest game in college football this week. There aren't many huge ones, but other than you know, the two that we're giving out plus a couple more. But I'm going to go Louisville plus 3 over Clemson. Louisville has had this game circled all offseason. They've lost 3 straight heartbreakers to Clemson by 6, 3, and 6 points. But they've actually outgained Clemson in 2 of those 3 games. And we know just how good the Tigers have been the last few years, yet Louisville hung right with them. These players feel like there's some unfinished business here. I like the fact that Louisville hasn't looked that impressive on the scoreboard in the first 2 weeks. They won a pair of tricky road games by 7 at Purdue and by 12 at North Carolina. But you can kind of excuse the Cardinals, you know, if they were going through the motions, knowing that they had this huge game against Clemson coming up in week 3. Letdowns have definitely been a problem under Bobby Petrino, but that won't be the case for this game. Clemson's, I think, way overvalued after winning the national title, opening the season also 2-0 straight up and 2-0 against the spread. But they didn't look all that impressive last week in their 14-6 win at home over Auburn, and it's clear that offense is going to take a big step back this year without Deshaun Watson. And Auburn, I think, in my opinion, is kind of overrated coming into the year, and that kind of showed last week. And after slugging it out against Auburn, this is kind of a tough spot here for Clemson, having to now face a very speedy, athletic team like Louisville. Lamar Jackson, most electrifying player in college football, won the Heisman Trophy last year. In large part because of his performance at Clemson, he led Louisville to 568 total yards in that 36-42 loss at Clemson. Louisville's last two games against Purdue and North Carolina definitely were close on the scoreboard, but they weren't close in the box scores. They outgained Purdue by 180 yards and outgained UNC by 304 yards. Jackson accounted for 542 yards and 6 touchdowns in the win over North Carolina. So he's already in Heisman form. There's one trend about this game that really stood out to me. Dabo Swinney is 1-8 against the spread as a road favorite of 7 points or less as the coach of Clemson. So he hasn't done well in this spot. I think Louisville gets their revenge, gets an outright win here on the national TV stage Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm on board with this one. Had I been on, did the college podcast, this would have been one of my favorite win total bets. I think a lot of people were sleeping on the Cardinals after a slow finish to last year. And, you know, it really amazed me how little respect Lamar Jackson was getting after, you know, being one of the first guys that I can remember in my lifetime to just run away with the Heisman Trophy. And speaking of that, you know, back in July, he had odds of plus 950. Two other guys were ahead of him. Clearly odds makers also, you know, were questioning whether he was the same guy and could put up the same numbers. He's now the odds on favorite by a landslide at plus 175.
Wow.
So they clearly think he's the real deal. And, you know, we saw what he did last year to this Clemson defense. And let's not forget what Deshaun Watson did in that game, throwing for over 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, nearly 100 yards on the ground. You know, you have a home night game. These are, you know, the pinnacle for fans. Everyone is going to be, you know, as crazy as they are all season. And it's a blackout, the first true road test for Clemson and their first year starter in Bryant. And you touched on the same stat I had it written down in my notes and how Clemson has really struggled as a road favorite. And I think a lot of people forget that it was actually Louisville that was favored at Clemson last year. So I think an upset here is in the makings, and I'll be on board here with you.
Yeah, I don't understand that line switch. I mean, Louisville's every bit as good as they were last year. Clemson's not as good as they were last year. And now Louisville goes from being a favorite on the road to an underdog at home. So I love it.
Yeah, an interesting thing here with this line I've kind of been watching is you see it. The public's all over Clemson at minus 3. The line will jump up at a few spots to plus 3.5, and it's almost immediately getting bet right down to 3, back to 3 by the sharps. So the big money's on Louisville in this one.
Yeah, and I'm thinking by kickoff, it's probably going to be a pick 'em, honestly. I think it'll be one of those, some kind of move like that where they're just waiting to see how high they can get it. And you're right, they keep taking that 3.5, so that's an indication too. So if you want it, I don't know that I would wait.
Exactly. I'm on board with that idea too.
Yep. Let's move on to the NFL. Brandon is 14-5, his last 19 NFL free picks on the podcast, so this has definitely been his sport. Give the listeners your winner for Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to take the LA Rams -2.5 at home against the Washington Redskins. If you listen to our NFL over-under podcast, this was my favorite over team at 5.5 wins. The Rams absolutely dominated the Colts 46-9 in week one. The Redskins, on the other hand, lost at home 17-30 to Philadelphia. You know, that might not seem like a big deal. Everyone's on the Eagles this year as a, you know, an uptick or, you know, a team on the rise. You know, Washington had won 5 straight in that series. And while you don't want to overreact to what we saw in week one, I think it's pretty clear the direction that these two teams are headed in 2017. And I think we're going to look back later in this season and you know, think this line should have been closer to a touchdown than a field goal. And that's going to surprise a lot of people right now, but that's just, you know, the difference I see here. And it all comes down to the Rams' new head coach, Sean McVay, who some of you probably are aware of, was the Redskins' offensive coordinator the past few seasons, the guy that, you know, basically turned Washington into an offensive juggernaut with Kirk Cousins as his starting quarterback, who was, you know, basically an afterthought when they selected him in the same draft as RG3. Without McVay calling the shots, Washington's offense managed just 10 points and 264 total yards. They turned the ball over 4 times. And that's an offense that was 3rd in the NFL last year at over 400 yards per game. Cousins, 58% passing, only 240 yards. You know, I think he clearly misses McVay. And if you see some of this, you know, stuff that's out there on ESPN about how Cousins just, you know, is going off on McVay about saving his career and all that, it just tells you how big of an impact he had. And we saw it right away with the Rams in week one. You know, I know the defense accounted for 16 points, but, you know, LA had 30 on their own, over 373 yards. Goff looked like a completely different guy in McVay's system. He went 21 of 29 for 306 yards. Gurley was at least a factor, though he did struggle in the running game. And the defense was dominant, limiting the Colts to just 9 points and 225 yards without their best player in Aaron Donald, who I'm expecting to play this week. He returned from his holdout before the game last week. The thing is with this, and you know, the Rams were so bad last year and have just been so mediocre under Fisher that I think a lot of people are looking to that blowout win against the Colts as more of a result that, you know, the Colts don't have any defense and Andrew Luck didn't play. They're crediting the Colts being so bad instead of, you know, LA playing well. And, you know, that certainly played a part, not having Luck. We're talking about a Rams team that was dead last in scoring last year at 14 points per game and also dead last in total yards at 262. Not to mention they couldn't score a point in their opener against the 49ers, a team that didn't have a win against any other team in the league last year. And one last little thing, McVay, you know, I mentioned he's the Redskins' former offensive coordinator. You got to factor that in. He knows the personnel of Washington, at least the majority of it. He's going to know how to attack that defense. He's going to know how to attack Cousins offensively. And I just will gladly take my chances here with the Rams laying less than a field goal at home.
I know we did our NFL win total podcast, and the Rams over was your top pick, and I knew then that this you would have the Rams this week once I saw this line come out. I love it too, man. I'm a believer in McVay and this team, and he's the youngest NFL head coach in history. I just think his players feed off his energy. I like the guy quite a bit, and you know, no the history he has with Washington. You covered all the major points. I think he's going to be able to exploit that Washington defense, which is one of the worst in the league. Was last year, will be again this year. Definitely was concerned about Washington's offensive output last week against the Eagles. They clearly missed DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, let alone McVay. I think McVay is the biggest reason, but they do have less weapons this year now, and I'm a believer on the Rams, and I'm way down on the Redskins this year, so Los Angeles is only a 2.5-point home favorites here. One of the best bets for week two, in my opinion.
Glad to hear it.
All right, I'm going to go with the Saints plus 7 at home against the Patriots. So you're going to hear a lot of stats about the Patriots in the media this week, and one of the big ones is the last three times the Patriots have lost their season opener, they've gone on to win the Super Bowl. And the Patriots definitely have been great off a loss under Bill Belichick. But these aren't the same old Patriots. I was on the Chiefs as 9-point home dogs or 9-point road dogs last week against them. And I'll fade the Patriots again this week. The Patriots under 12.5 was one of my top three win totals. So I was down on them coming into the season. I just believe they were way overvalued after going 17-2 straight up and a ridiculous 16-3 against the spread last year while winning the Super Bowl. And the betting public isn't going to abandon him now after they treated him so well last year, but Tom Brady just doesn't have the chemistry he normally would with his receivers. The Julian Edelman injury is huge, and now Danny Amendola, who had 100 yards receiving against the Chiefs before going out with a concussion, might not play again this week. Brady completed less than 50% of his passes and failed to throw a touchdown pass in the 27-42 loss to the Chiefs. The offense has its problems, but the defense may be even worse off. The signs were there in the preseason when the Patriots gave up 32 points per game in their four preseason games, and then they proceeded to allow 42 points, 537 total yards to an underwhelming Chiefs offense. Alex Smith looked like Joe Montana against them. Patriots are going to be missing their best player on D now, and linebacker Dante Hightower, who is doubtful after suffering a knee injury against the Chiefs. Their defense completely imploded when Hightower left the field. And, you know, the Saints did lose 19-29 at the Vikings last week. I'm really high on the Vikings, so I don't look at that as too bad of a loss. Drew Brees did complete 73% of his passes. They just could not punch it in the red zone, man. They had to settle for field goals inside the 5-yard line three times, so they got to get that worked out. I think they're going to get their running game going this week. They didn't get it going last week because they were playing from behind. Adrian Peterson voices frustration on the sidelines to head coach Sean Payton, and I think you'll see him definitely focus on that. The Patriots allowed 185 rushing yards, 6.9 per carry to the Chiefs last week, And Peyton is 25-10 against the spread off a road loss as the coach of the Saints. I really believe New Orleans is a live dog this week, and I love them at plus +7.
I would love, I wanted to take the Saints here, and I couldn't be happier that the Chiefs were responsible for helping you get off to a good start with your win total with New England. The thing is, it's just in my betting Bible to not go against Belichick and Brady off a loss. New England is 45-11 straight up off a loss since 2001, 38-17-1 against the spread in this spot, covering at over almost a 70% rate and winning by an average of 11 points per game. I know the offense looks bad, and I know it looks in bad shape with, you know, the weapons they've lost at wide receiver and Hightower out on defense. But Belichick is a genius when it comes to this stuff. I mean, he's just look what he did last year with Jacoby Brissett, who basically had a bum shoulder and they won 27-0 against a Texans team that, you know, had one of the better defenses in the league while Brady was suspended. And then I don't kind of like the Colts and, you know, people not giving the Rams enough respect. I don't think people are giving Kansas City enough respect for how bad New England looked. And a big thing to consider here is that's not the first time the Chiefs have made New England look bad, and they've really played them well since Andy Reid has came to town. A lot of you might remember 2014 Monday Night Football. The Chiefs laid it on them 41-14, a game in which Brady got benched for Garoppolo, and everyone was saying the dynasty was over after that game. The next week they came out and beat a Bengals team that was 3-0 at the time, 43-17. I do have some concerns here, and I'll probably stay away because of it. You did touch on the defense, and that's where most of my concerns are. I think Brady and the offense will figure it out. So if I had to lean something right here, right now, I would take the total, and I know it's really high. I mean, it's almost 60. I think it's like 56. But I think both teams are going to march up and down the field in this one. So, you know, hopefully the Saints come in for you here, but I'm just not going against Belichick.
Yeah, I think that total must have moved up because that's probably, I believe it opened around 54 maybe. 56, yeah, it is up there. I think it's moving the right way for a reason there. And I get it. I mean, you would have lost a lot of money overtime fading the Patriots after a loss. So it's just I just think maybe that dynasty might be starting to go away.
It has to at some point.
It does. And you know, I mean, they'll reload, but they just got so many injuries right now that I just think it's a good time to fade them again. And you're getting 7 points here. It's not like I'm, you know, laying points with someone, but it's
that
a game
might be
that could...
the ultimate week one reaction. You go from the odds on favorite to win it all to the dynasty is over.
The
injuries do play a big part, I know.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's completely over, but it could be the sign of things to come. We'll see.
Sure.
Now it's time for some NFL teaser winners. What's your favorite teaser this week, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Pats. I like taking them. I'm going to do a two-team six-point teaser here. I like taking them from 6.5 or 7 down to -1. And then I also like the Ravens from -8 down to -2. That Baltimore defense is the real deal. Anyone who was on my premium plays knows the Ravens was my favorite play last week, and they won convincingly. Cleveland with a rookie quarterback has no chance in that one. And you know why I like New England, so there's that for you.
Yeah, there's a good chance we can catch we can get a middle there on that Patriots teaser. And I love the Ravens, so you either get a middle or we go 1-1 there based on my free pick and your teaser there. So I like the Ravens quite a bit on that teaser line. About used it myself. I went with the Bucks -1, teasing them down from 7-1 at home against the Bears. And then I'm going to tease the Jaguars from +2.5 up to +8.5 at home against the Titans. I think the Bucks, are just chomping at the bit to get ready to play a game because they didn't play last week, and the Bears have, you know, all kinds of – they got their two best receivers are out due to injury. Don't think they can go on the road and win. I think the Jaguars, their defense is so good that they're going to stay in that game against the Titans. They did blow out the Titans at home last year too, so think we get a winner there. What do you think?
I like that one. I'm big on the Jags this season. I guess I wasn't coming in, but after you know what we saw in week one with that defense, and Fournette, you know, looks the part as, you know, maybe the next AP in this league. I think Jacksonville has an outside shot of winning that division.
Yeah, the Jags were my second favorite play last week. I really liked them getting five and a half there at Houston. That defense, man, and then they got a running game. So it's like, you know, if you got a defense and a running game, you got a shot. So it'll take the pressure off of Bortles a little bit. That Allen Robinson injury hurts, but I don't know. Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns are okay. So
if teams got to stack the box to stop Fournette, I mean, it doesn't really matter who you got a receiver as long as you have some talent.
Yeah. Yeah, Marquise Lee is pretty. They've drafted talent in that.
And they got Hurns and yeah.
Yep. So, man, I feel good about this week, Brandon. Let's deliver some winners for the listeners. Otherwise, they may not keep coming back.
Yeah, you got it, man. We got to deliver this week, and I like our chances as well. And you know, I'm very confident going with all my premium selections. So, hope everyone can get on board. And worst case, you know, cash in some money on these free picks we gave you.
Yep, and head on over to sportscapping.com. Look for Brandon and I. You'll find Brandon number 4 on the overall leaderboard. And definitely right now, over the last 7 days, I'm number 2 in the last 7 days. So it's been a great week, and I look for more profits to come this coming weekend. So take care, Brandon.
Yep, man, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the SportsCapping.com podcast. For more free picks and predictions, be sure to visit us at SportsCapping.com.